Have your Bibles. You want to turn with me first off to Matthew 16. We're going to look at a few scriptures. I want to talk to you about building the church. There's a whole lot to say concerning building the church, and you can go to all types of church group seminars and all this type of stuff, and that's not where we're coming from, I promise you that, okay? But in Matthew chapter 16, and if you look at verse 18, Jesus is doing the speaking. And I say unto you that you're Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I want you to note there that it says that he, Jesus, will build his church. Then turn with me to Psalm 127. And if you look at verse 1 in Psalm 127, it says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. Then turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and look at one verse of scripture there, verse 47 in Acts chapter 2, last verse. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and this is what I want to draw your attention to, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, when we're talking about building a church, it basically takes three things, and that's the message, conviction, and then a response. Okay? In Romans chapter 10, and read verses 10 through 13, Romans chapter 10, it says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they preach? How shall they hear without a preacher, right? And then I can go on and add, how can they preach unless they're sent? And that's the message in and of itself. But here's what I want you to see. The message, we started out, the message, the conviction, the response. The message is the invitation. If you think about it, no one can get saved without hearing the message of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been challenged on that before. Matter of fact, the lady told me she got saved without hearing the message. I said, well, then, how did you get saved? How did you know about Jesus? She said, well, I read it in a book. I said, well, then you heard the message, didn't you? You understand? You can't get saved if you can't hear, if you don't hear about Jesus. How do you know about Jesus? How can you believe in someone you've never heard anything about? And how can you hear anything about them if no one ever tells you about them? And this is why it's so important that we go into all the world and preach the gospel, so people can hear, so people can get the message. And so that comes first. There must be the message that goes forth first. Now, if you think about what we just read in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached Jesus Christ. He preached the message that came first. Then the second thing you see is the conviction. What happened after he preached the message? It says their hearts were pricked, which is a conviction. In other words, now this hits them at gut level. This is not a mental thing anymore. And so after their hearts are convicted, they have to make a decision. Now, I want to show you something about that conviction before we look at the decision. In John chapter 6, if you want to turn there, and we'll look at, first off, at verse 44, the Gospel of John chapter 6, or according to John. In verse 44, Jesus, doing the speaking, said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then if you want to go down to verse 65, here again, Jesus doing the speaking, and he said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father." Now, everyone who hears the message of Jesus Christ does not respond favorably to the message. In other words, they hear it, but there's no conviction in their own heart. They just hear it and they go off. Probably most everyone, if not everyone in the room, did not respond the first time you heard the gospel message. I mean, there's no telling how many times I've heard the gospel, but I'm talking about years of hearing it. You understand? What's the difference? The time came when I heard it and conviction settled in. Now all of a sudden, it's not just hearing with your ears, it's hearing with your heart. I had a man, and I won't give you any details, I'll be very vague with this, but a friend of mine, the guy I grew up with, he was a little bit rowdy and all this, and he had some intentions, wrong intentions, and anyway, his wife talked him into going to church on Sunday. Now this guy, he had gone to church many times in the same church that I grew up in. His mama would bring them to church, but the message never took. But he said that morning when he went to church, and he was telling me, just giving me his testimony, and he said he didn't even know what the preacher preached, but he knew God had gripped his heart, and he knew. He said, "I knew that if I did not go to the altar that morning, I was going to hell." He said, "I knew it." And he said, "I took off for the altar." You understand? And thank God, very active in church. What was the difference in that Sunday and all these other Sundays that he'd been in church? Conviction. God drawing you. No man goes to Jesus unless God draws him. Now, you have to understand where I'm coming from when I make this statement. You know, a lot of people have in their mind, you just go door to door and everybody you witness to gets saved. But that's not true. A lot of people will just, you know, go along with your game to get you off of their back. And I'm not against witnessing. I'm not against door-to-door witness. I'm not against handing out tracts or any of that. But I'm telling you, if God is not dealing with the person's heart, then the person is not going to respond. The message is like, "Oh, I've heard that before," you know, just not really taking root on the inside of a person. And so there must be a conviction. They have to hear the message. Without the message, God has no means of convicting the person. You understand? To know truth, you have to hear truth. And then there's something that you have to do with us, and this is where we come to the response. The message comes first. The Spirit of God dealing with a person's heart is drawing them. But then it's up to you. It's not an automatic thing. It's how we respond to that message. And really, the response is just an individual decision. No one makes that for you. Now, the message is really an invitation. The gospel message, you've heard of the call of God? The call of God is an invitation to come to Him. And so the gospel message is like sending out an invitation to some type of event. And how many of you know that there are RSVPs, you know? That means that you can accept the invitation or you can decline the invitation. We just need to know, okay? And so you can accept or decline the invitation of God. And many people decline that invitation. Actually, you think about this, Mark the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16, where Jesus tells us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now note this, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe is condemned. He brings condemnation on himself because he haven't believed. What did he do? He rejected the invitation. You understand? So there's an acceptance or there's a rejection. There's no middle ground. You either accept or you don't accept. Now, with all that in mind, I find that men, women, try to build their church. Now, they'll use a message. Marketing. That's a big deal these days, marketing the church. And along with that usually comes various gimmicks and programs and all this type things. You're trying to sell the church to people, so to speak, or sell people on the church, however you want to say that. And so there's a message that goes forth to try to draw people. You'll see it on marquees on the church. Come as you are. And all, you know, various things. Or you'll hear the advertisements telling you how great the children's program is, or how great the music is, or some of this stuff. It's a drawing card to try to get people to come in so they have their message. Now, here's the difference. Instead of a conviction, it's a charisma. They're using a charisma on you to try to get you to settle in. But even at that, you have a choice of whether you respond or you do not respond to the charisma. And I'm telling you, there's some guys out there that could sell snowballs to an Eskimo. I mean, they are good with their charisma. And they can, you know, through the marketing strategies and through this great charisma and people responding to their charisma, they build a church. But unless the Lord builds it, it's worthless. That's what, actually, if you look the word up, in vain, it's worthless. It's futile. You go through the motions, or you can brag about it. And a lot of people do. You know, they brag, but what have they built? They built an organization or some type of empire or some institution. But Jesus said he would build his church. There's the churches of men, and there is the church. The church is the body of Christ. Men marketing their church, men building congregations, are not building a body of Christ. They're building an organization. There's a difference. Now take you back to Acts 2:47. It says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, there's also another scripture found in Acts chapter 5. If you want to turn there, and we'll look at verse 14. Acts chapter 5. In verse 14, It says, and believers were the more added, note this, to the Lord. Multitudes both of men and women. It's not that they're joining a club. It's not that they're enlarging an organization. They're added to the Lord. That would be the body, wouldn't it? In other words, another member is added to the body. The body of Christ is many members. So when the Lord adds to the church, it's another member being added to the body. When men add to the church, it's just another person. It's another source of revenue or bragging right or whatever you want to say. I can get myself in trouble with all that, but it's absolute truth, and I'm not backing down from it. Here's the thing. Jesus is building His church. Are you a part of His church? Or are you a part of men's church? Are you going along with what Jesus is building? Or are you being enticed by what men are building? And the sad truth is, so many people today are being enticed to go with what the men are building rather than what God is building. See, Jesus, or what Jesus is building. Excuse me, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, there's two ways, a straight and a broad. But the interesting thing about it is He says few are finding the straight way. It's that straight way that's leading to life everlasting. If you're going to life everlasting, it's a straight way. It's going to be His church, His way. But if you're taking the broad way, there's a lot of churches out there. There's a lot of organizations out there. There's a lot of people that use the name of God. There's a broad way, and He said, many are finding it. But when you get to the end of that way, it's death. It's a passive destruction. One is taking you to life, one is taking you to death. If you follow the church Jesus is building, it's everlasting life. You follow the churches that men are building, it's going to be an everlasting death. No gray area. No gray area. And I think a lot of people are going to be deceived, thinking they're all right. Well, just do the best you can. You know, everything be all right. Now, who set that standard? Not God. So you can follow the standard of men, or you can follow the standard of God. And I'm telling you, with today's, the way they're marketing churches today, they've lowered the standard. It's sort of like the school system. When you get people that aren't passing the grade, what do? They lower the standard. What are you doing? You're dumbing people down. And that's exactly what the churches of men are doing. They're dumbing people down from the way of God. They're deceiving them. It's a pseudo-church. You understand? They get you into the organization, suck you into the organization by giving you what you want so they can get what they want. I just call that prostitution. And that's exactly what the modern day church is doing today. And the Lord is saying, come out. You come out from among them. Get out of what men's building. Get into what God's building. Follow the ways of the Lord. You listen to the message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom. And as you listen to the gospel of the kingdom, that message, then the conviction will take you in the right direction. The Spirit of God will lead you in the right direction. As long as you make the right response. You respond to what the Spirit of God is saying. So churches are being built all over the place. But Jesus is building one church, not many. You understand? And it's not the mother church. It's the body of Christ. That's what he's building. One that will live with him eternally. And so we choose. Will we listen to the message of God? Will we yield to the Spirit of God when we're convicted and give God a good response? Who wins? We do, and God does. You understand? Don't follow the ways of men. Follow the ways of God. Get this building the church and all these things that are out there on building the church. You just ask yourself, who's building the church? If it's men, I don't want no part of it. If Jesus is not building the church, I don't want to be a part of that church. You understand? Corinthians says we're all baptized into one body. The Spirit of God takes us into one body, not many bodies, okay? And that being the body of Christ, which is the church, according to Colossians. Okay? You getting the message? Jesus is building his church. I could ask ministers, what are you doing? Are you in his church letting him build, or are you trying to build your own? And I look at it this way. God never called me to build a church. God called me to be built. You understand? To be a part of the building. You with me? I mean, that's the invitation that's given. God's calling us to him by his Spirit. But we have to respond favorably in order to be a part of the church, the body of Christ. Amen. Well, that's the message. It's pretty interesting how that came this afternoon. Sometimes it's takes longer than other times, but this was just dropped in me quickly, as a matter of fact. Just building the church is where it was dropped into me. Building the church. The message, conviction, response. Jesus has one way, men has another way. Stay with the Lord. Okay? You all right with that? May as well be. We're not retracting, you understand? That's just the way it is. And I evaluate myself on a constant, just a regular basis to try to keep the man out of the way and keep the Lord to the forefront. Not to be doing your thing, not to be building your thing, not to be bringing attention to you, but to put the attention on him. Amen. And I encourage you to do that in whatever field of ministry you're in. You just make sure that God's getting the glory. I was telling someone this past week, I've come to the point in my life that I realize that without him, I can do nothing. And people have the idea, well, I have this gift, I have this, I have that. You don't have anything. You don't even have the air you breathe without God giving it to you. You understand? And that song, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. There's a powerful truth in all that, and we need to come to realize it. Not that we're babies that have to be carried, but we're people that realize we don't have the ability to think for ourselves. We need Jesus thinking for us, and then we need to be carrying out his plan. That's how it started out. God just made man in that innocent state, and man just doing what God wanted him to do, just following God's lead until he got his attention on the external. And when he got his attention on the external, it just wreaked havoc throughout the creation of God. What was very good became very bad. when man got his hands into it. And look at how it's deteriorated today. We better get our eyes on Him and let Him build us. You know, it's sort of like brick. You have to make the brick before you can put the brick in the building. God makes us as a brick, lively stones. That's what Peter calls it. Okay. And then once we're shaped, then He strategically places us in that body where He wants us. And I will tell you this, the temple of God is not a building. It's people. It's people. You know, I've been looking this week, actually Tim and I were talking about it this morning. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now there's a profound truth in that if you look at it. He giving Himself as the ultimate sacrifice, redeeming mankind, prepared a place for us with God. You know where that place is? In Him. In Jesus. You understand? You're not independent. You're interdependent. You understand? Working together with me. Amen? Okay. All right. Good. Get your mind off of buildings. Get your mind on the person. Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us. You give us peace. So Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You be before You. Amen. You guys have a great week.